Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Eric, you and I have been really busy.
Yes.
Because not only are we recording our once-a-week podcast that come out Thursday, but we've been doing a lot of bonus episodes recently.
Yes, and you guys have been so awesome about letting us know what you think, your thoughts on what we talk about, how we're giving you more than just one episode a week. So we love doing them. And let us know if you guys have any ideas for things that we can do. We've gone back and looked at what's happened in previous seasons of like Atlanta and New Jersey. So if you guys have any ideas, let us know. We're happy to do it.
Tweet us. Slide into our DMs. I'm at Meg Segura.
And I'm at Eric J. Mack.
And always hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
So today we're going to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County, Real Housewives of Dallas, and Below Deck is back.
Season premiere. Woo! And we have interviews with Brandi Redmond from Real Housewives of Dallas and Mariah Huck from Married to Medicine. Start with Orange County.
Let's start with Orange County.
Okay. A very Gina episode.
Yes.
She gets stood up for a broken toe.
A broken toe.
What's the injury? What'd you write? What's the injury?
Oh.
Is something... Meaning
soccer, to... big toe is broken. I can send you a sexy
a
side
toe?
By side.
I put in my
toe?
Big toe. That's
I
fine.
I got stood up for a toe?
Put a boot
a
on.
Toe.
Okay, stop.
Have you ever been stood up by something so...
minuscule?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, that should have been her tipping off point.
Right.
That something was amiss.
Honestly, the tipping off point for me might have been the fact that he was Shane's cousin.
That's so bad.
I think I would have been like, I don't know if I want
but
that.
But she had met him, so she knew
That's
this
true.
Guy was good looking and funny.
Yeah, well, and you guys will hear in a couple weeks, we will have the interview that we did with Gina, and we do talk a little bit about this date and sort of what went wrong. But my point to her was a little bit like, maybe you dodged a bullet with this one, because if he's trying to make excuses over a broken toe,
right?
What else is he going to make excuses for?
But he also... has a girlfriend.
Well, so yeah, so you'll hear more about what Gina has to say about that, but it was definitely maybe some kind of miscommunication.
Well, and she also talks about it on the after show,
mm-hmm.
which you can watch at bravotv.com. But basically, just like she feels like Emily did not do her due diligence on this guy, and she's supposed to be able to trust Emily. So how could Emily set her up with a guy who has a girlfriend? But I'm actually a little bit on Emily's side
yeah.
with this. Like, she didn't know.
Right. I mean, and things move very quickly in people's personal lives. Sometimes 1 month ago, they don't have a girlfriend. Next thing you know, they do. So maybe Emily is just not in touch with this guy as often. I mean, it's a cousin of Shane.
She said she's only met him like 3 times.
Right. So, I mean, I appreciate that Emily is trying to get Gina like back into the dating game. And, you know, that's the only way you can really move on from a relationship that really hurt you is to try to like get through that grief by putting yourself out there again. So I hope Gina continues with this, but
yeah.
maybe, you know, sources her own men.
I think the other thing that stood out to me was sort of the beginning of Matt drama with Gina, because she goes out to dinner. She goes out basically on this double date without her date
mm-hmm.
with Emily and Shane. I actually found him to be super sweet toward Gina in this episode. Like, I'm starting to think it's not necessarily he is a mean person. I think he is mean to Emily.
Right.
Which is not okay.
Yeah.
But like, it was interesting for Gina to get this, what we have to presume was a really nasty text from Matt that was basically like, you're a shitty mom that you would skip your son's baseball game to go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane's like, look, you're a great mom. Do not let him get to you.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I really was surprised that he was so compassionate, because we don't really see that with Emily. But he basically was saying to Gina, like, don't allow him to hurt you, because that's what he's trying to do. And he's using the kids to do that. So just like, remember that you are a good person, that you do go to all of these games, and you're great to your kids. So don't take this on, because that's what he's trying to do.
It's a really good cow analogy too.
I know. I was like,
They say when you put a cow in a field, he hits the fence and he walks around the whole fence all looking for a hole. And then when he finishes it and he finds out that there's no exit, he stops looking. So he's trying all different areas to see what works with you. You don't let any of them work, and then he gives up and he goes back
to
being himself.
Will he give up?
Like, and is that factual? It must be.
We also got a cow skull reference in Dallas this week.
So okay, we have...
We'll get to that later.
Because that was a lot.
But a lot of cows. Also, speaking of like animals, I'm really sorry you probably had to witness that pig head that was served.
Well, that was going to be my thorn because what the fuck? Like,
I mean, that's way too much to deal with.
But at the same time, I am of the belief that if you're going to eat an animal, you should have to look at the face.
I respect that.
Not to be judgy or anything.
She put an extra emphasis on that, if you guys couldn't tell. I want to talk a little bit about Bronwyn and Sean, how they have the conversation early on in the episode where Bronwyn's basically like, look, I talked about the fact that we have threesomes, just FYI. So I think in the last week or so, Bronwyn has gotten a lot of flack on social media about revealing this threesome thing. And a lot of people are saying, well, what are your kids going to think? And she went on Instagram, actually, and posted a story that was like a DM with one of her children, probably her oldest daughter, I'm assuming. And the daughter was just sort of like, LOL, you and dad are so funny. And she basically captioned it being like, look, for everyone who's saying like, I'm not a good mom or that like, what about your poor kids? I just want you guys to see they're okay with this.
So I had posted a clip from last week's after show where Bronwyn talks about how she and her husband started having threesomes. And like, it was a really light, funny clip, but it's like, yeah, this is kind of how it started and how it works for us. And the comments were so cruel.
That's right. You read a bunch to me.
Like, just the judgment and the, you know, this isn't something you should talk about. But I just feel like, have we not all sort of realized that like marriage is not necessarily just this one thing? Like, it can be whatever two people want it to be. It's their life.
Right.
And I don't know, like, there's a whole subset of people who sleep with other people when they're married and their kids know about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's this terrible secret for everyone.
Exactly. I mean, it's being equated by a lot of people as almost cheating, but if it's not cheating if everyone's in on it,
right,
and it's sort of an agreement. And it's also interesting to see where people's sort of moral compass steers them. You know, there are certain things that are so inappropriate and certain things that we've seen so many housewives do over the years that really hurt people, that, you know, they're caught in lies, they're caught in scams. There's all sorts of things that they do and people forgive them very quickly and move on. And they're like, well, they're still my favorite housewife. But as soon as Bronwyn presents this idea that once in a while she and her husband have threesomes,
yeah,
and that's what's going to cause you to hate on her. Come on, let her live.
Let her live. Okay, but I also want to discuss, because in the after show last week, Kelly and Gina both said they think Bronwyn's lying about the threesomes.
Why?
They think it's her way of trying to be interesting. And I have the opposite reaction where I'm just like, nah, I feel like they do more, but they're just...
Right. They're not actually... We're just scratching the surface.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wasn't surprised by it. I don't think Bronwyn would do that to be interesting. They have a separate house to have sex in.
Like, exactly.
That was in like the very first episode, or like at least the first two, where they were very revealing. I mean, and it's sort of like with that many kids and all of the things that they have going on in their lives, like they probably need something to keep it spicy in the bedroom. And if that's once in a while having a threesome, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Do you think Sean wears his necklace during the threesomes?
That's my other thorn. There were so many thorns this week. Like, sometimes it's hard for me
we
to
got a
find
whole rose
one.
Bush.
Even this one was just like, that necklace. Perfect partner, but they wear that necklace.
Hell no.
Right?
We take it off. I want to talk a little bit, too, about Emily's weight and how I think in this episode is where we're really seeing the shift in Emily, where she is kind of reclaiming her body. Because if you follow her on Instagram, you notice that she's been working really hard. She looks fantastic. She's been exercising and taking care of herself. We see a big change in her compared to when this episode was being filmed. And, you know, Eddie and Tamara are there to kind of like light that fire under her ass to get her going. So I'm happy to see the progress that we've already seen, and that's kind of just through social media, but good for you, Emily.
And I have to say, like, I mean, I'm, yes, be healthy, but I didn't see her this season and think, oh, she's gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think she's someone who, whatever size, like, she just, I don't know, carries herself well and yeah. always looks beautiful, I think.
Well, and it sounds like, too, from what she said, that she didn't necessarily gain a lot of weight recently, but she just hasn't gone to the doctor. She hasn't checked her weight in, like, 8 months or something like that. So I think she was sort of in denial about what could be wrong. And a lot of people are afraid to go to the doctors because of what they might learn, you know, like it's almost like ignorance is bliss and you'd rather just not know than go and have to deal with some kind of medical issue you could have. So I think for her, she knew going to the doctor, they were going to be like, X, Y, and Z is high. You need to exercise more and change your diet. But it's kind of nice that she was there with, you know, Tamara and Eddie to sort of be like, they're friends. So they're going to be a little gentler on her. But Eddie was also like, this is your, you know, muscle weight. This is your fat weight. Like, you need to fix these numbers.
Sidebar. Remember at the bar when you said it annoys you when Danny says anyways versus anyway?
Yes.
That's how I feel about people who say doctors versus going to the doctor.
Going to the doctor. Oh, interesting. Going to the doctors. Well, it's like doctors, parenthesis.
I know, like the apostrophe. I get it.
It's like his office or her.
But for some reason, it just, I'm like, why are you seeing multiple doctors? Like, you're going to the doctor.
I'm going to the doctor. Yeah, it's true. Usually there's multiple doctors in the practice.
But yeah, Danny, he sold you out the other night.
He's going to kill me. So Kelly stuck around in Arizona and decided to visit some family and whatnot. So the place that Kelly goes to meet her brother, it's called like Sip Coffee and Beer. I went there when I was in Arizona last year or two years ago, maybe for a wedding. And there's actually this really cool tiki bar that's underground there.
Really?
So you go into this place and it's just kind of like a little bit of a beer garden, coffee shop, whatever. And then there's this staircase and you go down and it's like you're in the underbelly of a pirate ship. And they have these like round windows where if you look out, there's screens that show like the ocean. And once in a while, these like pirate ships will go by and like blast and then the lights shake and everything. It's so cool.
That's amazing. They should have filmed there.
I know. It's really cool. I mean, I think maybe they want to keep it like underground and secret, but my friend knew about it. The person, my friend Chandra that I went with, and we were in an Uber to get dropped off. And like when you search for the place on Google Maps or whatever, it tells you it's in this place. But the Uber driver didn't want to let us out because you couldn't see that there was a bar there. He was like, oh no, this is just a coffee shop. I'm going to keep driving around. And my friend Chandra was like, no, you just let us out of the car, please.
Interesting.
So a secret place. If you guys ever go, check it out.
I love a tiki bar.
Right? Can we talk about the cameo we got in this episode?
Oh, yes. Alexis Bellino. Some of my favorite memories of Real Housewives of Orange County involve the seasons that Alexis was on.
She and her ex-husband have had quite a complicated relationship.
Well, I feel like it wasn't complicated on the show.
It's true.
It was very much a, he is my king. Mm. Okay, which can I just vent for just a second?
Please do.
People that sort of act like they have it figured out, they have the secret to a successful marriage figured out, always seem to end up divorced. So, like, for instance, for Alexis and Jim to be like, you know, we're super religious and our marriage is very much, you know, in this. And as Jim's wife, like, I need to do what he says. He's the head of the household.
Yeah.
And that's, like, how we make it work, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember Miranda Kerr gave an interview in a magazine when she was married to Orlando Bloom. And it was like, you know, I put an effort for my husband. Like, I, you know, wear lingerie all the time and I do this and this and this. And that's how, you know, and it's like, but I just don't believe that there is this
secret sauce.
Yeah. I think it's just like you choose to make it work or you don't. Like, you know?
Well, I think that's a good point because one of my best friends, Caitlin, she's about to have a baby. A lot of babies going on in my life right now. She and her husband have been together since 2011, but they were married since 2011, but they were together from senior year of high school. And they've always been this amazing couple. Like, they are so much fun to be around. They love each other so genuinely. And one of the most important things that she ever said to me about being in a relationship was that every day is a choice. It's not like it just automatically, oh, it works so perfectly because we figured it out. This is the way you do it, and this is how it works. She was like, every day you kind of wake up and make that choice to be together, work together, to love each other. And I thought that was so important because it does make it sound like it is work, which it is.
Yeah.
And it's not like people who kind of front that they've figured it out and there is one main secret. That's not really true. I don't think you're being authentic in your relationship or whatever. So I appreciate that.
And the other annoying thing is that she then starts talking to Emily about her new boyfriend. And it's this thing that people, especially females, I think just only females, do in relationships where they paint this picture of like, now I've found the perfect guy. Yeah. We're so perfect together. All of our friends say so. And particularly like my girlfriends, when they get in new relationships, like, I mean, we have sex all the time. And like they say it in a way that's like, we have such chemistry. And I'm like, yeah, it's called the honeymoon phase. Right,
yeah. Like that will slow down.
Right. It's just, I have this childhood friend who I don't keep in touch with, but like I see stuff she posts on Facebook. She's getting married for her fourth time.
Woo.
And every time the way these lengthy posts she'll write about these men, and it's just like, oh, my forever wedding date or my best friend. I'm like, you've said that a lot.
Right.
Like, maybe don't be so confident. This is the one.
Yeah, you're on your fourth forever. Okay.
Right? So let's just calm it down.
Yeah, forever seems to have a time limit or something.
I don't
know. Gosh.
Maybe I sound bitter, but I just hate when people are so like, no, you're not special. This is just how it goes.
Yeah.
This is the beginning.
And especially with social media, you know, it's so easy to present a life that you may not actually be living.
Right.
And a lot of people do that. And it's very easy to do that because you put those lengthy posts and it, you know, might look a certain way to some people, but some people are seeing right through that.
Right.
One thing about the conversation with Alexis and Emily I thought was interesting is Emily was asking Alexis about co-parenting and like what that experience is sort of like. And part of me was like, is Emily doing research?
Okay, so let's back up a little. So how was everything with Jim, like as far as co-parenting and things like that? Does that work out well?
Yes. I love the relationship that I see between Jim and the kids.
Okay.
And I mean, divorce sucks.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I mean, I think it's almost harder than death. It is a death, actually, you know,
it is.
Of a 14-year marriage. I think in life, when you're with someone, there's two options. You can grow apart or you grow together. So we grew apart and it's just a really broken marriage for a lot of years.
Right.
Earlier in the season, she had said if Shane doesn't pass the bar, like she had sort of hinted that things might go south. And I don't know. I thought it was just interesting that she was talking about co-parenting. It seemed like she was inquiring from a, you know, research perspective.
Yeah, that's an interesting read on it.
Yeah. One thing, too, that I wanted to point out is when Alexis first sits down with Emily at this lunch, she mentions she just got back from Thailand. Below Deck filmed in Thailand this season.
I mean, a lot of people go to Thailand.
But, you know, Bravo loves their crossover family situation.
Okay.
We know Carrie from Real Housewives of Dallas was on Below Deck. Med, season 2, I think. So maybe we'll get a little Alexis Bellino cameo.
All right.
With her new boyfriend, obviously.
I'm excited to
we'll see
if that's true. Having a lot of closet space in New York is rare. Instead of fretting over where you'll store your new fall sweater, check out the newest online rental subscription service.
Haverdash offers an endless rotation of clothes that adds a dash of trend, color, and pattern to all the great looks you already have.
Now you can finally experiment with new trends without the commitment.
Signing up and receiving your first order is super easy, too.
All you have to do is fill your virtual Haverdash closet with everything you'd like to wear, and you'll receive 3 items from your list shipped at a time.
Feel free to wear those items once, twice, or as many times as you'd like. And once you're done, send back all 3 items to get your next shipment.
And you can swap out your items for new ones as often as you'd like per month.
If you happen to fall in love with a piece, which we don't blame you if you do, members can purchase the item for a discounted price.
The best part? You can have an endless closet for just $59 a month.
That is an affordable way to amp up your style.
So get catwalk-worthy looks for a fraction of the cost by heading over to Haverdash.com and sign up today. There are no commitments and you can cancel anytime.
That's Haverdash.com to sign up and start your virtual closet. Real Housewives of Dallas, we have Leanne's Moulin Rouge, but also circus, but also lingerie themed shower.
Yes. I mean, it is a lingerie shower, but yeah, a lot of theme going on.
Too many themes, maybe.
I have to say, it's so funny that Leanne said Cameron could just go straight to church after this and she'd be fine. Because when I first saw her, that's exactly what went through my mind.
Really?
Like, she could wear this anywhere and it would be appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, she was pretty covered up. She had, like, a hat on. She definitely could have walked into a church right after that.
Cameron could have walked straight into a church from our lingerie party and been just fine.
But this was a Wednesday at 1 o'clock, so she can save that outfit for Sunday.
The whole 1 o'clock thing, my God.
I know. Did everyone just have to, like, take off work and, like, go, you know, like, just, all right, I guess this is what we're doing today.
They're real housewives, Eric. They don't work.
Well, Carrie Duber is working at the, you know, medical place.
Yeah, that's true.
But we got Carrie Duber back.
I know. It's were you excited episode. To see her?
I actually kind of was. It was kind of nice to see her again.
Yeah.
And she was sort of there to help talk Stephanie through what was going on with Cam, and she gave Stephanie some really good advice, I think, that we heard later on when Stephanie sat down with Cameron. She kind of used sort of what Carrie had said to her, so it was nice to see her around. I'm just surprised that after everything she and Leanne have been through too, that she was like co-hosting this party.
I mean, part of me is like, I think she also wants to be there because she's a walking advertisement for her husband's practice.
That's very true.
Like, look how good I look. Yeah. Yes, you should go visit Dr. Duber.
Right. Well, noticeably absent from the party was Deandra.
I think that's really shitty of Leanne.
I do too. If they're trying to make progress and move forward, but I guess she still hasn't decided if she's inviting her to the wedding, so maybe she didn't want to necessarily extend the invitation to the shower, knowing that you can't really come to the shower but not be invited to the wedding, right? That's kind of even more awkward.
No, for sure. But, like, just invite her to the wedding. I'm not saying she has to be your maid of honor, but, like, invite her to your wedding.
Right.
You have a history.
Well, Deandra is going through this whole thing with the business. She finally gets her meeting with Travis. I think Travis told her pretty much what she needed to hear.
When I took over the place here, I really looked at what was making us money, what wasn't. And I got rid of everything that wasn't making money. Don't keep anything that's not making you any money. Mm-hmm. Shed that as fast as you can, especially if you're in a position where money's getting tight.
Oh, can I just say, Travis was kind of my all-star in this episode.
100%.
First of all, he gives Deandra, like, amazing business, which is just, like, and I think she took it because she did say in her interview with us that, like, they refocused the brand, so now they're just focusing on one product, mm-hmm. which is what he sort of suggested. Lose everything that's not making money.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let go of that lease. And then when he was later talking to Stephanie, and you can just, I don't know if this made it into the reunion last season, but I remember they talked about how they go to this couples retreat every mm-hmm. year, and it's like intensive couples therapy, and it's like you can tell it works for them.
Wow.
Because everything he's saying to her is so validating, and like, you are enough, you're a great friend, and if Cameron doesn't see that, that's her problem, not yours.
Yeah, I really did love seeing that. I mean, I will argue that he was not totally my all-star this season, but I'll tell you why later on in my thorn. But I really did appreciate the way he just gave Deandra that tough love and was like, this is what you need to do. You're going to have to make sacrifices. That's part of being in business. Because it's all stuff that Deandra, I think, deep down knew, but she just needed someone to be like, this is what you have to do to make your business thrive. And then to your point about everything he said to Stephanie, I think that also really helped guide her conversation with Cameron at the party too. Like, I think she felt then she was armed with the right tools and felt confident enough to talk to Cameron about what was really bothering her. So good for you, Travis. You're a great man.
Sort of going all over the place. But I love that Cameron, who was the girliest of girls, has this tomboy daughter and is so supportive of it.
I know. Did you ever go away to sleepaway camp as
yes,
a child?
Yes, and I wrote it down. I was like, yeah, when I was started at around 8.
Texas, they are hardcore with sleepaway camps. Everyone starts going away to sleepaway camp at age 8.
That's so young.
It was definitely not the type of camp, though, where you had to, like, apply as a baby to
at
go
18
to.
Months.
No, no, no. This was just church camp.
Right.
But yeah, I would
oh,
go
yes.
away for a week.
Oh, my God. See, I did a day camp when I was younger because I wasn't totally into the idea of staying away for that long.
I mean, a lot of kids couldn't. Like, a lot. I mean, every year, kids went home early.
Yeah. I mean, I did a day camp where there were, like, plenty of activities throughout the day, but I always remember my favorite activity was the end of the day when my mom picks me up and I get to go home. Because it wasn't, I mean, I was an only child. I am an only child, but it's not like I didn't have a lot of cousins. It's not like I wasn't a socialized person or child at that age. So I just didn't love the idea of, like, having to make new friends because I was like, I already have a bunch of friends. Like, what do I need this for? But it was really just to, like, try out archery and, like, what if you like crafts? You know, it did expose me to some other things, but I definitely enjoyed, like, my summers out from school, like, being able to be home and, like, do the stuff that I wanted to do.
I just feel like you were probably like, but my very best friend lives at home. Her name is Mom.
Right. Kim lives at home. Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, it was a good experience looking back on it now, but I just, I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really love it as a kid.
Yeah. I was the opposite. I would get home after camp and miss camp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you write letters home?
I did.
And even though it was packages. Only 7 days.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's so
You're
ridiculous.
You're like, day one. That's so cute. Yeah. Little Megan at Christian camp.
I know.
I don't think it worked. Also, jumping around again, too, back to Deandra. I did want to emphasize, because a lot of people have been saying everything she's going through with the business, like, is she qualified? Like, is she just this rich girl, trust fund, etc.? But when I spoke to Kate Casey, who is friends with Deandra, she also reiterated that Deandra abandoned a really serious career in DC to come back and help her mother with the business. And I think it's important to know that that's part of Deandra's story. It's not sort of like she's some rich girl who was just
giving
handed
money. Yeah,
exactly. Like, she really worked very hard independently to make this career and then gave it all up. So the resentment and the strain on her relationship with Mama D goes very, very deep, and, like, deeper than we've really seen on the show until this episode and until, you know, what Kate Casey had said when I spoke to her a couple weeks ago. So I think it's an important thing to remember as we see Deandra go through this journey, that she did make a lot of sacrifices, as did Mama D, to grow this company the way she did. But Deandra also sacrificed her quote-unquote passion, like we were talking about last week, to come and do something that, you know, she felt was important because it's part of her family's legacy. Well, next week, the party continues for Leanne, and shower is done. We move on to bachelorette party.
Yes.
Should be interesting.
So I got the chance to sit down with Real Housewives of Dallas's Brandi Redmond. We talked about what started the whole napkin-throwing argument with Cameron Westcott, how she dealt with the negativity surrounding her parenting style, and what the residents of Dallas now think of the show. Plus, she talked more about reconnecting with Leanne Locken at Andy Cohen's baby shower. Here's the interview. All right, welcome back, Brandi Redmond.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Season 4. I can't believe it.
Season 4. I know. It seems like yesterday I was wearing a poop hat.
Does it start to feel like sort of you're an old pro at this now?
Oh my gosh, no. I mean, I feel like, you know, the experience, it's always, there's always something new going on, and you just never know as you're living life what's going to happen. So,
and you are, of course, no stranger to the microphone because you have your own podcast with Stephanie, right?
I do, yes.
Between this and the show, is it ever like you guys are spending too much time together?
No, I don't think so. You know, because I really don't think so. But there is always, like, because we see each other and we don't want to talk about what's going on with whatever we are including in our life. So that's always hard because with the podcast, we want to be open about what we're going through and what's happening. And so, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit tricky. That's when my prank calls come in very handy.
As a podcasting partner, what's the most annoying thing about Stephanie?
Probably that her answers are always like pageanty perfect and mine aren't. Like, I'm a little bit more like, oh yeah, you should definitely break up with him. And she's like, well, maybe you should give him three more chances. So, yeah.
So this season, I feel like really kicked into high gear when we got to Mexico.
Yes.
Carrie's house is amazing.
Oh my goodness. It is absolutely beautiful. I would live there. I don't know why she just doesn't live there.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's phenomenal. It's literally, I mean, I know Carrie says it's magical, but it really is. It's nothing like I've ever been to before. And I didn't even know that area in Mexico even existed.
Right. And the things you guys got to do were really cool. Like, I feel like you were inside that big sound bowl.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Meditation.
Yeah, we did. It was actually really cold because the wind was blowing in there. Not that anybody cares about that, but so I could not focus on anything but being cold.
Yeah. I feel like I need to hear your perspective on the night that you and Cameron got into that heated argument at dinner over the idea of cliques within the group. Because I feel like I was missing something and I wasn't sure what got you both so heated in that moment.
Well, I think what happened was I think in my head that when Carrie was initially showing us the property, we had drawn names to have room assignments. And Deandra and Carrie were together. And I think that, you know, and then during the room assignment, Cameron and Leanne were pulled off to the side and talking. And then Carrie came back and said, hey, why don't I room with Leanne? And then since you and Stephanie want to room together, then y'all room together. And I said, no, I'm fine with the room assignments. They're good. And then later, it's this whole room situation turned into a really big, I mean, you would think that we were five. Like, and the click stuff started. And then I'm like, wait a minute, you know, you're the one who were trying to separate the assignments and whatnot. I mean, it was really ridiculous. And we had been drinking all day. And yeah, and I think it just escalated because there were a lot of, you know, words thrown back and forth that were not okay. So, right.
Yeah, the word trash, I'm sure really brought up a lot for you.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think Cameron gets it now?
I do. You know, I think that there's, I think, you know, Cameron hasn't, she says that I never really got a gift. I never gave her a chance to really get to know her, but vice versa, you know? And I think it's one of those things where I always felt like less than, like Cameron always thought of me less than. And then for the first time, like after that happened, it was actually really good for our relationship because we came together and we talked and we cried together. And that, so I do think it was really a good thing in the end.
Yeah. I don't know if it's you or Leanne who says it on the trip, but it's basically like you and Leanne are good when it's surface level. If it goes anything deeper, you two are at each other's throats.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
So basically it's, you know, Leanne and I are fine, but then it's, you know, when you're around each other a lot, Leanne has a tendency to go pretty deep and dark, and she brings up a lot of the things in the past, which kind of rubs me the wrong way, just because I feel like you don't always have to bring a dark cloud in on things that we're doing or going through. And then I feel like sometimes anytime someone's sharing an experience or something in their life, I have I feel like Leanne also will chime in, and then it's like a one-upper.
Mm.
And so for me, I think that it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And then eventually, you know, I voice my opinion and Leanne doesn't like that. So, so I really think that that's probably
what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you guys said at the beginning of the season that you reconnected at a friend's baby shower. Was it Andy Cohen's baby shower?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we reconnected there. We had so much fun together. That's what I guess there might have been drama at Andy's baby shower. I have no idea. I kind of heard rumors, but as far as the Dallas girls, I loved it because we got together and put our differences aside and we were able to celebrate and have such a good time. And I think that's what life is about. You know, we were celebrating such a beautiful blessing, and Andy and, yeah. And we definitely had a really good time.
Now, what drama did you hear about?
Oh gosh. I mean, I heard that there was table drama. Yeah. So, I was like, I'm just here to drink.
That's amazing. So earlier this season, I think that you really helped a lot of moms in some ways by shedding light on your own experience right now and like what you're going through with Brooklyn and sort of those hormones that happen.
For, yeah.
You know, tweens and blossoming teens.
Yeah.
Do you have her rewatch those episodes with you?
Brooklyn, you know, what's crazy about it is that when I watch it, I don't see what some of the comments and so what other people see. I see a little girl that is hysterical, sassy. I know she loves me. And she's quick-witted. She's a lot like her mama. So for me, like, I laughed and I enjoyed it because she's confident and she's independent. And I think that those are amazing qualities to have in a child. And would I ever want to calm her down and pull her back a little? The only thing that I think that I would do is just say, okay, there's a time and a place. If you're upset with me, let's do this at home and in private, and please don't disrespect me in public. But other than that, I wouldn't change who she is because I absolutely want her to have an opinion and stick by it and be independent and have confidence. And I want her to be able to, you know, when she goes on a date and she, you know, to be able to stand up to somebody and say, hey, you know, whatever, she knows what's right and to stand up for herself. And I think that, you know, I'm proud of her.
Great. I think that that's nice to hear. And that's like an interesting perspective on it too, just that you're not trying to stifle her personality.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I think, and sometimes what's crazy about it is Brinkley is very much the opposite. She's very sensitive and she's very much a pleaser, to the point where I have to tell her sometimes, you know, no, you need to, you know, say how you feel, like, you know, stand up for yourself. And there's such a difference. And, but I love them both so much. But the other thing is that, you know, people don't see my life 24/7. And like my girlfriends were complimenting, like Brooklyn made these goodie bags for everybody, for all my girlfriends that came on the trip with me. And she wanted to give them to everyone individually. And like to like putting water in these goodie bags, like y'all might get thirsty, and making bags of candy, like they might get hungry, you know? So it's like, they're also very thoughtful and, just the, like the little things like that. And that's probably the most recent thing that I can think of, but you know, they do, they have amazing qualities, and sometimes you just don't get to see them all. But I am so glad that I am able to share my experience. And I know, you know, I heard on Jenny McCarthy's podcast that Jenny was saying, like, well, gosh, Brandy may not even want to, you know, be a part of this anymore and sharing her life with all the negativity coming with it and the bullying. And, you know, and it's weird because I did sit there and think, like, gosh, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, being who I am and sharing my life and with everything that I've ever gone through, I feel like it's also a reward for me because it's a reflection for me to look back at myself and think like, okay, wow, I didn't see myself that way. And I didn't realize that I wasn't being, like, at one point, my husband's cheerleader and encouraging him. Instead, I was like, if anything, like, I was more of a burden to him, you know, and that was important to me and to learn from. And, you know, and my relationship with Stephanie, I learned from that. And now with my children, I'm looking at it and, like, saying, okay, you know what, I see when people can say, like, maybe you shouldn't have taken her shopping and spent so much money or whatever. And I see that. And I value people's opinions when they're very basic like that, because, hey, we can all have one. However, I want people to know that, you know, that's my time with Brooklyn and my time with her. You know, I have three children. And so giving her that special quality time, and if I want to spoil her that in that moment, that's my choice. And I think that people should respect that. And I know that what I spent on her was a lot of money. But I wouldn't change it, because that was my time with her. And she rocked those clothes out all summer long.
How does your husband feel when he watches back those episodes? Is he kind of the same perspective as you?
No, he does not. He does not watch.
Oh.
He doesn't watch, no.
Is it just too hard for him, or he's not interested?
Well, you know, for him, he's just like, you know, I live with you. I know how amazing you are. And yeah. So the only thing he's like, he will say is, don't go jumping anything naked again. Like, you know, whenever I go do something and I'm like, okay.
That said, do you this season?
No, I don't think so. No. I had to think like, about it.
You have to think about like, it.
No. Well, I mean, I have had some major beach trips this summer, so.
Right. Found to be like a little bit of a moment.
maybe. I remember when we first got to Carrie's house, I wanted to, but nobody wanted to join me. And so it didn't happen.
How do you like Carrie as, you know, a new housewife in the group?
I love Carrie. I think she's a great addition. She's super funny and feisty, and she's always up for a good time.
Yeah.
And that's probably some of the things that I love. And she's not afraid of Leanne, which is also a good quality.
Right. You must appreciate that.
Yes, I absolutely do.
So aside from Stephanie, who I know you talk to, who are you sort of the most close to when you guys aren't filming?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one. I have relationships with all of the ladies, and I definitely I wouldn't say that I'm really like absolutely close with any of them, like, you know, where we hang out all the time, but I have relationships with all of them that I'd, you know, go have coffee, lunch, or meet up, or come, you know, I'd invite any of them to my kids' birthday parties, like, or any party that I'm having. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty grounded with all of them.
Even Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say that, you know, with everything going on, and, Leanne was the first one to reach out to me, with all the stuff with Brooklyn and the, you know, the little bit of hate that was going on. And I really appreciated that. And I think that, you know, we've come a long way, and I think, you know, her standing up for me and my children and is a huge testimony to our friendship, because, you know, we've been through a lot, but I think if someone's willing to stand up for your family that, and, you know, and speak the truth of like, no, she's a great mom and the kids are great. And, yeah, I think it says a lot about her character as well.
Yeah. I just want to know how the people of Dallas have adapted to their being Real Housewives in town.
Yeah, I think, I think it's a positive thing, because it's able to bring recognition to different, you know, restaurants, bars, locations. And so I think they've really embraced it. And I don't think that they treat us like any different. But yeah, I think that it's been a positive thing.
Yeah. What are you most excited for people to see this season?
You know, I'm excited for people to see, and I'm excited to see Leanne get married. I think that it's something that she's been wanting for a really long time. And so that, and I think that everybody's probably wanting an end result to Mama D and Deandra and what's going on with that. I know I am. I'm like, okay. And then I think it's always good to see the children and how much that they change and grow over just even, you know, from 1 year to the next. And I think it's fun, like, even on my social media, for people to see follow Bruin, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's so big. I mean, he's like, he's a Bravo baby. Like, yeah. Y'all been following him since, you know,
infancy.
Yeah, totally. Like, he's a month old, or actually 2 weeks old when, because y'all met him when I met him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, yeah, so I think it's fun for, you know, for everybody to see that. And it's fun for me.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was great. Yeah,
no, thank you.
Below Deck is back.
Are you so excited?
I'm so excited.
You know, Kate Chastain must feel really good about herself that season in, season out, people come and go, she stays.
As she should.
Yeah, no, I mean, agreed.
She's very good in her interviews with the one-liners. Like, she makes me laugh in all of those. I just appreciate Kate in such a different way.
Yes.
Especially now that we've become buddies.
Mm-hmm. You're biased, for
I
sure.
I am a little biased, for sure. And I know Kate listens to this, so Kate, I'm biased. But it's a good thing. Well, I want to go through and talk first impressions of the new crew.
Yes.
Because that's important.
Yes.
I'm going to run down the names and you can tell me, but I'm going to start by saying all the men are hot.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so let's start. Chef Kevin.
Looks friendly, but if I know anything about chefs, he's not. Right. And I mean, in this first episode, but we're talking about first impressions. So
of course.
First impressions seems nice.
Yeah. All right. Do you agree with Kate's description of him as Tom Cruise mixed with Hugh Grant?
But Kevin looks like Tom Cruise mixed with Hugh Grant.
I mean, I wouldn't put him at that level of like charming, but... Sure.
Once she said it, I couldn't unsee it. And I don't know if I would have gotten there myself.
Right.
Because he's also blonde and they're both like darker hair. So it's like a little bit, you know. But now I can see it with the nose and the features.
Mm.
Okay, what do you think about Simone? Stu.
She seems nice and dancey. And I like dancey people.
Yeah, I think Simone seems really sweet. I think she'll be a lot of fun. And I think Kate's already kind of impressed with what she's doing as a Stu. So... hopefully it's only up from there. Okay, Courtney. Princess Courtney.
Princess indeed. Yeah, I like the quote that, like, because she, like, clearly has parents who maybe are a little well-to-do, mm-hmm. like, went to a lot of fancy dinners. She was like, so I'm more accustomed to sitting at the table than serving it.
Service makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Why?
I'm not used to, like, servitude.
Yeah.
Growing up as an only child, I'm obviously my parents' favorite. I was like their little buddy. We did a lot of traveling, going out to nice dinners. So I'm more accustomed to sitting at the table than I am serving it.
Right. Like, then you're in the wrong job.
100%. She's like, I like connecting with the guests, AKA hanging out with rich people. And then goes on to say that she prefers to be lounging on a yacht than working on a yacht. So it's sort of like, all right.
All right. Yeah, I foresee problems.
Oh, definitely. But... she can make a mean drink, apparently, so that is going to have a lot of value for everyone.
Yes, keep the guests drunk and happy.
Exactly. Brian?
Fine. I don't know enough yet.
He's giving me a little bit of, like, Ross vibes from last season because he has a child, so I think maybe we'll see he's a little bit more, perhaps, sensitive and clued in to other people's feelings and emotions.
Okay.
But we'll see about that. Okay, Abby.
Fine.
Listen, we love a redhead.
Yes.
She's from Boston, so she's going to be cool.
Well, I did think it was funny that someone said, I hope she doesn't have red hair.
There's a picture. I hope she doesn't have red hair.
Because they were talking about Riley.
Right.
And then she shows up.
With a lot of red hair.
A lot of red hair.
Like Merida from that Disney movie. I'll be shooting for me own hand.
Oh, boy. Brave?
Yes, I couldn't think of it. It's literally like basically Bravo with one letter changed. Yep, Brave. Exactly. Okay, last but not least, because also handsome, Tanner.
Cute. That's what I thought.
I am a little concerned about him only because I don't always trust a man who speaks in abbreviations. Like he mentions in the beginning that he's an LID, like a Long Island dude. I was like, oh boy.
I speak in abbreviations sometimes.
Like what though?
I'm like, that's V cool.
Well, that's different. Like I feel, well, okay, so acronyms is really what
okay,
I mean.
Okay, acronyms is different.
Acronyms are different. So, and then he also mentions something about like he's into GVO, which is good vibes only. Oh, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, no.
Like he's the like, other.
That's like Carl from Summer House.
Exactly. I was going to say he's kind of like the other kind of Long Island. Like you have the Colin Macy O'Toole's of Long Island who are just like the good dudes.
Down to earth, love their moms.
Yeah. And then you got the sort of like other side of Long Island, which no offense to everyone on Long Island, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
No offense to everyone from the wrong part of Long Island. But...
exactly. Well, we have Ashton back. Thank goodness.
I mean, I feel like Bravo owed it to him.
Definitely. Kate points that out pretty quickly. I mean, just watching the flashback footage, too, was kind of triggering. Like, I feel like that was such a moment last season that really drove home how dangerous this job can be. And then we had this certified Bravoholics Day here at Bravo a couple months back. And Captain Lee was one of the Bravo celebrities that we had in attendance, and they talked with influencers and all that. And I remember being in the room and talking to Captain Lee about that experience. And I mean, Captain Lee was almost driven to tears in the room that day talking about it. So yeah. I think like Captain Lee says early on in this episode, the key to this season is going to be safety first. So I feel like we're going to see him being a little bit harder on the deck hands and just making sure that everyone's like on their radios, communicating properly and just being careful.
Yeah.
Did you catch that Tanner referred to Kate as an older woman?
Kate has caught my eye 100%. She's beautiful, smart, funny, and I tend to lean towards older women.
I definitely did because as a 33-year-old woman, there's just something about it that like I'm at an age where I realize certain guys may see me as an older woman.
Right.
And it is mind-blowing because...
You're like, I couldn't possibly be in that category.
I couldn't possibly. What, have you seen me?
I know. Well, first of all, yeah, you do look 16 at most. But it's,
and
you know,
I feel 16.
I mean, to a 26-year-old, I feel like anybody above 30 feels like an older woman to him.
And look, I'm sure I thought the same thing at, you know, right, a certain age. But yeah, it's just like, don't say it. Don't say it.
And then especially to be like, the oldest woman I've been with was 58. It's like, okay, well, Kate is nowhere near 58.
I know. Like, I'm like, that's an older woman.
Oh, man. I don't know, Tanner. But, well, he's into Kate. And I think we're going to see some, we're going to see some flirtation. We're going to see something going on there.
All right.
I don't know. Well, we have a proposal coming.
What do you think of that couple, by the way, the charter guest?
I mean, I just like, I feel like Kate says it pretty perfectly that like she's
he's
like,
rich, she's pretty.
Yeah, she's like, they're really nice. He's rich, she's pretty. It just kind of works and it makes sense.
But like the FaceTiming the dog, I mean, like, I think he really knows what's going on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. I do love that he's planning this little dinner. Like, I love a romance thing. And for him to propose, it's kind of cool. It's like going to be on camera. It's going to be living on forever on Below Deck.
But part of me is like, have you watched previous seasons, sir? Because it's not like things go smoothly all the time.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Would you, do you trust this crew to make it work?
I know. You're putting a lot of trust on the crew, but at least it's not one of those like super elaborate, you know, like, what do you call those things? A flash mob.
Oh, God.
Where there's like choreography and like all of these elements that have to come together for the perfect proposal. We just need a violinist and a candlelit dinner. Like, I feel like
we can make that work.
The crew can handle that.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to say Thailand is on my bucket list.
I know, me too. And especially after watching.
Well, we also need to double check the time of year they go, because if it's 94 degrees every day, I'm going to avoid that time of year.
Yeah.
So we'll ask Kate. I'll text her. I spoke with Married to Medicine's Mariah Huck, and we talked about if she believed Dr. Jackie's girl code, what it was like being part of that paint and sip party, and Jocelyn Hernandez's argument with Toya Bush Harris. Plus, she reveals who she thinks has changed the most throughout the seasons on Married to Medicine. So let's take a listen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mariah Huck from Married to Medicine. Hello, Mariah.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good, too. So this season opens up a discussion about girl code because it opens with the Open and Honest podcast. Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone, were they living by girl code the way they were talking on that podcast?
Not at all. They were not. They were living by being messy, and they call it girl code. I just call it being messy. Mm-hmm. Let's call it what it is.
So there have been some rules set in place by others in terms of what girl code is. Mm-hmm. But what is girl code to you?
I think that girl code is very simple. It's being respectful and trustworthy. I mean, I think it's really, really simple to be friends. I mean, just keeping integrity, trust, and respect. Just not doing to others what you don't want done to you. It's very simple. You learn it in kindergarten, actually.
Right. Treat others how you want to be treated, right?
Treat them how you want to be treated. It's very simple.
The golden rule, girl code, same thing.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
During the Emergent Tea Party, did you feel like you could fully express how you were feeling about the friend group?
Not at all.
And why is that?
Because, as always, Jackie gave us a bunch of rules. When we went in, you could only pick one card. And, you know, you want to still be respectful. And I think when I really, truly express myself, it's turned on me. So I didn't really want to be as real as I wanted to be.
When you arrived, you and Dr. Heavenly were actually dressed the same. Do you think that helped?
No, we weren't dressed the same. We had on the same color.
Okay, well, similarly.
Okay. Yes.
Do you think that helped break the ice a little bit? Or was there still some tension, maybe?
It's probably still a little tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, though.
Do you feel like coming out of the Emergent Tea Party that everyone was in a better place, or did it kind of make everything worse?
I think it was just very fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, child, please. It just felt very fake to me.
So you mentioned that you feel like Dr. Jackie may be the source of a lot of things that are happening in the rumor mill.
Absolutely.
So how do you feel about, after she planned the party, do you think she made a better effort to get along with everyone?
I think she always makes efforts with the other ladies, just not with me. I think she and I both have been trying here recently, but I think it goes left. It does tend to go left real quick.
Yeah. Well, she was pretty quick to apologize, I think, about what she said on the podcast.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that she did?
I was, but I was happy that she did.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, and I accepted her apology. But when you apologize, you can't say but.
Right.
So everything that you say before the but goes out the window.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, wants to get to the apology, but then they're like, but there's an exception to this.
Exactly.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Toya's sip and paint party.
Oh, my God.
Because I think I have an idea for what I want to do for my next birthday.
Mm. Paint penises is what she had us doing. It
did
was
you
mess.
Expect the models to be so interactive?
I did not. I did not at all. Mm-mm. I didn't.
What did your husband think about the party when he heard about it? Because we heard some of the husbands were a little
Yeah, Aiden was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. But I think he laughed. But I think at that point, he felt like the men deserve a free pass for whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was surprised, to say the least. It was a whole lot.
It was a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, even from what we saw on TV, you know, I mean, there was only certain things that were blurred.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of Tom, Dick, and Harry's there. Ooh, it was a lot.
Well, you've had some pretty iconic confessional looks.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. But you had to go to Buffy's party where everyone had to wear outfits that were under $500. Mm-hmm. So how did you manage to pull together an outfit like that?
Oh, easily. I mean, I believe in being frugally fabulous.
Right.
I do. I think you should look like $1 million, but you shouldn't spend it, not on clothes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was easy for me, actually. They didn't even believe that my outfit was under $500. I thought I was lying.
Everyone did look amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can still pull together a look on a budget.
Absolutely.
Did you go out and get new clothes, or did you have just stuff that you pulled out of your closet?
I bought new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many cute places you can shop at. I mean, you can ball on a budget.
Right. Well, and you're already on a budget.
And
yeah, so
when you have style, you can wear anything. You can make it look good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than you, who was best dressed at the party?
I don't recall. I really don't.
You were like, it
you know
was
what?
Me.
I'm going to tell you who, I don't know if it's best dressed, who I thought was cute. I thought Simone, because she had a different look.
Yeah.
She was like a club girl. I mean, she was going clubbing, honey.
Right.
She was, but it was a different look for her. So I kind of liked that she was very edgy and cute.
So you have a tendency when people are talking or perhaps disagreeing, you often say, you know what, step out and go to the bathroom. And we see that happen at the tax party with, Toya. And so what triggers that for you? What is the moment where you see, okay, I need to intervene and tell someone to back away?
Because first season, you know, it was a catastrophe for me.
Yeah.
You know, when Toya and I had that big fight. And right. I think had someone just tap me on the shoulder and said, let's go to the bathroom. Let's go powder your nose or, you know, refresh your lipstick. Just give you a minute to regroup.
Yeah.
So I'm doing for my friends what I would want them to do for me.
That's fair. Yeah. Karen Huger from Real Housewives of Potomac had a line this past season that was, I need you to step into who you are.
Okay.
And I think it's so important to take those moments before you react, because you have a few seconds to react in a certain way. And
absolutely.
Then after that, it's like, it can go left or it can go right.
And it can go down real fast.
Yeah.
It really, truly can. Like with the blink of an eye, things have just went from bad to worse.
Right.
So, you know.
So Toya was triggered because it was Jocelyn Hernandez who sort of came in with just this real shady comment.
She came in guns blazing, honey.
She truly did.
She was shooting the girls down.
So do you know Jocelyn? Like, did you know her prior to this party?
I had met her once before.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, she was really sweet to me. I met her at a restaurant. She was very sweet, very real. She's a beautiful girl. I mean, so I was shocked when she and Toya kind of didn't hit it off.
Right, yeah.
Because I would have thought they would have.
Then it also caused an issue between kind of Buffy and Toya.
Yeah.
So where are they? How did they work through that issue?
I think Toya snapped out and you know, got it all off her chest.
Right.
And I think now they're moving forward in a better direction. Because anytime something like that happens, especially if it's your first time at someone's home, you feel ambushed and you feel like you've been set up. And I think that's how Toya felt.
Yeah.
She did.
How do you think you've grown over the last couple of seasons, just looking back?
Oh, my God. I just think that I have a little, I tolerate a lot more than I could in the beginning.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit more patient, and I think before I speak now, I try my best to. I really do. I mean, every once in a while, some things will slip out.
Right.
But, you know, I think I just really have grown up. I mean, I just grew up.
Yeah.
I just so happened to do it on TV, but I just kind of grew up, you know.
Do you think that being on the show has helped you kind of reflect on yourself more?
You know what? I think for me, I feel like I've remained the same person. I really, truly have.
Mm-hmm.
But being on the show is great to see yourself in different dimensions and see what other people think of you and how they see you. So it's been good in that way, but I think I kind of have remained the same. But it's always good to see yourself, too. For years from now, I'll look back and say, oh, I was cute, you know? You know, so it's good to see yourself.
Who do you think has changed the most being on the show?
I just got this question. I said Quad.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's like a transformer. We've seen her from season one. And you know what? This is the thing. There's nothing wrong with evolving and growing. Mm-hmm. Everyone should. But I think you have to keep the core of who you are. You know, you have to keep a moral compass or you won't even recognize yourself.
Right.
And I think we're seeing her kind of go through that for me, whether it's the voices, weak, whatever it is. I don't think she knows who she is, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it was with Greg. Maybe he didn't recognize her anymore.
Right. Wow. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Mariah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
I think my rose is definitely Cash Cab premiering on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be obsessed with that show, so it's nice to have it on our network now.
I want to go in the Cash Cab.
Okay, funny you should say that, because Laura Rosenfeld, who is an editor for The Daily Dish, got to ride in the Cash Cab.
Oh my God, that's right. Okay, so she is also like our reigning trivia champion 3 years in a row. We do like a summer trivia league, and she's always been on the winning team, so that's really funny because she's actually a perfect fit for the Cash Cab.
You can check out her experience on bravotv.com.
You can catch Cash Cab actually Monday through Thursday at 11:30, 10:30 Central after Watch What Happens Live. And it's on Sunday nights at 10:30, 9:30 Central after Watch What Happens Live.
What is your rose?
My rose has to be the Sip and Paint party from Married to Medicine, because there are beautiful naked black men all over the place. And those women did not appreciate it as much as I feel like they should have.
Mm.
It was a little bit a lot. I get it. If you're going into this party not expecting to have, like, huge penises in your face, then
I mean, huge penises or peni should like always be appreciated.
And respected.
Yeah.
And drawn. What was your thorn?
Ugh, I don't even want to talk about it because it's such a thorn for me. But this whole Kevin, Chef Kevin, stomach issues on Below Deck, I feel like we got noises and we got visuals to accompany what was happening. And I just am not about that.
Yeah.
Ew.
I know. And it's not Chef Kevin's fault. We're going to blame that on the editing.
Totally. Like, poor guy. Oh. Ugh.
Yeah. The sound effects are just unnecessary.
Okay, what was your thorn?
Well, my thorn, as I mentioned earlier, yes, Travis was an all-star of this episode of Real Housewives of Dallas, but he wore his shoes on the bed when he sat and talked to Stephanie. See, Sarah is nodding too. Like, I don't know if it's being a New Yorker where normally I'm not a germaphobe, but there are certain things that are like subway clothes don't go on the bed, like shoes don't go on the bed. Absolutely not. I usually take my shoes off before I walk through my apartment. But sometimes I'll leave them on, like not thinking or whatever. But shoes on the bed? She okay. just made it.
So I agree. Shoes shouldn't be on the bed. But I also, I'm not one of those people. Like the whole no subway clothes on the bed thing. Right. I don't care. I don't know. Germs are everywhere. No.
Do you not change when you get home into comfy clothes?
No, of course. But I'm just saying if someone did get on the bed like that, like it wouldn't bother me. And I let Penny in the bed. And I know a lot of people are very anti that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. See, I wouldn't think twice about letting a dog on the bed, but I would be like, no subway clothes. But dogs are probably equally, if not dirtier.
Like, does hair and food really bother you? Like, I'm not saying I want my food with hair in it.
Right.
But like, if I found a strand, like it does not disgust me because I think about my hair is probably the cleanest thing on me.
Yeah.
I wash it all the time.
I will say that on many occasions, I have just removed the hair from my food at like a restaurant or somewhere and just not said it because I'm also like, if I waited this long for my meal, I'm not going to send it back because there was a hair in it. And then I'm going to have to wait another 15 minutes while whoever I'm with gets to eat. Like, no, I'm not going to go through all of that because I'm sort of like, this isn't going to be the thing that kills me.
Right.
You know, this one hair
right.
in my sandwich.
Great note to end on.
Next week, we have Dr. Jackie from Married to Medicine and also Gina Kirschenheider from Real Housewives of Orange County.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me. Can't